It is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, driven by Hyundai. We're the Fan Morning Show. Greg Giannotti, Paul Alexander, and Jim Colony. Don't forget, 25 minutes from now, Regis Philbin will be joining us live on the Fan Morning Show. It's going to be just a treat to get a chance to talk to him. Regis is one of the greats in the TV business. This is his last year on TV. He's just counting down the shows. We keep it moving with the Steelers and the Colts talk. And Emmanuel Sanders dealt with a foot injury and a stress fracture during training camp. People were worried about whether or not that was going to be a recurring thing throughout the season and how he's going to come back from that. You saw Antonio Brown and his explosive preseason and everything that went on there. But Emmanuel Sanders in the first two games has been great. He had the touchdown catch in the first game, which was just a blowout. We all know about it, but still caught a TD pass. And then he throws the football last week. So Emmanuel Sanders just really not skipping a beat after dealing with that injury during training camp.
Part of the Bugatti boys.
That's right.
He was the guy that appeared to be, I thought, certainly last year, you know, when it was, two dogs, one bone, he usually got the bone. But
he
now,
did.
You know, with, excuse me, with him out, you know, with the foot issues,
your voice
Antonio
totally
Brown,
changed. Yeah, that was weird.
Antonio Brown kind of stepped ahead. Now, I think they're dynamic. You know, the two of them, along with Mike Wallace, the future of that wide receiving core is kind of ridiculous.
It looked like he was going to be Turk.
Yes,
yeah,
he did.
Be locked up.
And Jim Colony caught up with Steelers wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders yesterday.
What's next in your repertoire? We got the touchdown catch in one game. We get that beautiful spiral in the second game. Where'd that come from?
BA drew it up, and I just went out and executed it.
Now, you're not one of these guys that everybody says they used to be a quarterback in high school. Were you?
Yeah, I played quarterback in high school my senior year, but it was only like four games, though.
Well, why'd you stop playing quarterback?
Because I couldn't throw.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You couldn't
do it? Actually, they just needed a receiver. I didn't have anyone to throw the ball to, so they moved me to quarterback because they thought I was an athlete, but then I started running the ball more than I was supposed to pass it. So,
you know, you were bragging after the game. I hear you talking about check downs, and you were actually, you know, Mike said that it was supposed to be for him,
yeah.
And you ended up checking. Is that a true story? You're just trying to make yourself sound like a quarterback?
No. I had two options. I either had Mike on the deep ball or I had Hines running a little crossing route. And I looked up, I saw that Mike was double covered, so I checked it down. And Mike was like, you ain't check it down. You was trying to throw it to me. But, I was really trying to throw it to Hines.
Well, there was a guy chasing you, too. So I think if you had pulled up to try to get more under it, that might have been a more dangerous throw, you think?
I saw him coming. You know, like a true quarterback, I stood in there. I took the hit and delivered the ball.
You're really laying it on thick right now, I think. I mean, that's if your teammates are listening to all this stuff. All these guys used to be quarterbacks and stuff like that. But here's a question I have about a play like that. We're talking to Emmanuel Sanders about the end around and the throw. When you guys try that in practice, I've seen sometimes, you know, you guys try it. It seems like when it looks bad in practice, it works in the games. If it looks good in practice, sometimes in the game it doesn't look so good. How did that look in practice?
In practice, I didn't even throw the ball. I actually had an option. Mike was double coverage. Hines wasn't open, so I took off running. So everybody didn't know I could throw it, if I could throw it or not. So
the guys on your own team knew it was coming.
Yeah, no question. Hines knew I was going to put it there. He had faith in me.
One of the things the guys were talking about after the game, even though it was, you guys won 24-0, a lot of you guys on offense were talking about leaving some plays out there. Is that the way that you felt?
Yeah, we definitely left at least 150 yards out there. I mean, just simple throws and catches. And that's something we got to execute this week versus Indianapolis. I think this offense can be very explosive.
What do you see from the Colts defense? You had a chance to look at them much?
Yeah, like everyone else knows, they have two defensive ends, Freeney and Mathis. They come off the edge, straight speed guys. The secondary is very fast, small guys. So we definitely got to bring our A game.
I don't know how much we've seen that with you. Mike was just talking about, like, on his touchdown, it was a little last-minute adjustment where he made eye contact with Ben. Does he trust you guys a little bit more now, especially with Mike's been around for a few years, but with you and Antonio in your second year, you developing a little bit of that too, you think?
Yeah, he's definitely starting to trust us more, and that comes with time. I think last year versus the playoffs, that's when we really started getting the feeling that he was starting to trust us. And now he's counting on us to make plays.
You know, I don't know what you guys are calling yourself now, the Bugatti boys as opposed to the Young Money family. I keep looking these people up. I don't even know who they are. But now you get a touchdown. Mike's got a touchdown. When's AB going to get his?
This upcoming week, Indianapolis.
Write it down.
Take a picture.
There you go. Steelers wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders with Jim Colony. Is it me or is Emmanuel Sanders now the most subdued member of the Bugatti boys?
Yeah, kind of laid back
almost. He was just kind of sitting down chilling.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that was it. There wasn't sometimes. Yeah, I don't know. There was nobody around. He was just kind of sitting there by himself. And then as the interview went on, it was only for a couple minutes, people started filtering back in, including Turk. He showed up next. Ryan Clark was sitting down next to him. And so I think he got a little bit subdued because there were actually people kind of listening to this thing.
So we kind of
toned it down as it went along.
Which was
disappointing.
I understand.
Put him out of his element a little bit.
So Antonio Brown, the prediction, he's going to have a touchdown this week.
Right. Write it down. Take a picture.
This passing offense, we've talked about it so much, is it really does have the potential. And it's great to see that Emmanuel Sanders really didn't slow down whatsoever and came right back, was able to contribute. Now, Jericho Cotchery, who I really do believe is going to make plays for this team, you know, down the road in this season. Right now, he's a non-factor because he's hurt. Still up in the air, I guess, if he's going to play this week and what type of any contribution he's going to make, if at all. But if he gets back in that mix, then you know how do you handle that from a roster standpoint? It could be a little tough to make a decision there. But I think it's important to get him out there because he's a guy who can help too. He really is. He's a very talented guy. Always has been.
Hate to go coach speak on you, but it's a good problem to have. That depth at wide receiver will play out. Those things play themselves out until he's available and ready. You don't have to rush him back because he's not needed. At some point he will be, and it'll be great that he's there and available.
And Mike Tomlin and Mike Wallace, back to the one-trick pony
stuff.
There
we go. I pursued that a little bit on Tuesday with the coach.
I'm not seeing that at all.
He's working.
No, he's just trying to. He just wants to make sure these guys don't get big heads. And, you know, we have fun with them, and it kind of sounds like they're full of themselves a little bit, but I don't think that they are. And if they are full of themselves, I think it's in a good way.
Yeah, no, it's fine. They joke around. I mean, it's all lighthearted.
Oh, yeah. It really is.
You don't get any of that prima donna diva wide receiver stuff from them. I just think they're young guys that are having fun as opposed to the guys who are always asking for the football. Like, why don't you throw to me?
No.
You know, there's a reason why our offense stinks is because all that stuff. And that's not them. And that's not going to be them. I don't think in the Steelers environment, it's very hard to become one of those guys. It really is.
Well, it's just not permitted in that locker room. No one's going to get away with that there. That's the beauty of the difference and the beauty of the Steelers.
Well, Hines Ward's in that corner. He was not around yesterday at the noontime, you know, the noontime media veil. And Wallace is right next to him. And then, you know, a few lockers down, there's a few DBs in there, including Ike. Didn't get a chance to talk to him yesterday. But and then you get Brown and Sanders are a few lockers away. But they're all within, you know, within the vicinity.
The strategic placing of players in that locker room, there has to be, right?
I don't know. I've often wondered about
that. That's a great question. I've often always thought it was kind of guys, when they get there, they kind of go where they want.
That's funny because Roethlisberger is in one corner, and Charlie Batch is almost in the exact opposite corner.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty much random. Although for the offensive linemen are a lot of those guys are in a row.
Gilbert
and
Marcus
some other
Gilbert
guys.
And Pouncey are right next to one another. I mean, that's got to be by design. Either they chose that or the Steelers.
I think they
did.
Probably picked that.
I don't know. On game day they go in numerical order in the game day. You know, at Heinz Field, they just do them in numerical order.
Yeah, it brings us back to the famous Daniel Sepulveda,
right.
Ben Roethlisberger exchange.
Never talked to him.
He's
right
never said hello
other.
To me yet. Yeah, they're 3 years.
Right.
I mean,
that's
geez.
One of the greats. All right, this is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Regis Philbin's going to be joining us in 20 minutes from now, maybe a little bit less than that, so you don't want to miss that right here live on the Fan Morning Show before he does his show. Before we get back into Pitt and Notre Dame coming up next, I just wanted to address this. I use it as a wake-up call, but this faking injuries thing, I think that the NFL is taking it way too far. You saw in the Giants-Rams Monday Night Football game how there was injuries that were being faked to slow down that offense of St. Louis, but now the NFL is coming out and saying we're going to take draft picks, we're going to fine and suspend people. How is that possible?
I don't know. I didn't watch any of that game, but isn't the problem two guys went down at once.
At the same time, yeah.
They must have, you know, mixed signals. One guy was supposed to do it. They both do it. They see, and the other guy stops. And now one of the former Giants, which I had the name here in my top of my – I don't – claims the D coordinator of the Giants teaches it. It's a science.
Yeah.
How you fake the injury, taught by the Giants D coordinator.
Well, it's common practice, I think,
right. In
the NFL to slow a team down, especially with the offenses that are out there in the league right now. But you can't police it.
No, isn't the rule you have to take the guy? You have to come out.
Yeah, for a play.
You got to go out
for a play.
Right, but you've still accomplished the goal.
Well, I guess it's not applicable to the offense, really, because, but, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's lying on the field for a while. So what, was he faking it? You know what I mean? And how can you, you just don't know. There's no way. You can't give him a, what do you give him, a lie detector test? You pump him up with sodium pentothal.
Inadmissible. I mean, that's, you know, you can't do anything, really.
Perry Fuel is the defensive coordinator for the Giants. He was an interim head coach in Buffalo there for a while. And they thought he was going to get the
job.
And
on the resume, it says, teaches how to fake or feign injury.
Right, that's probably why he got the
job. One of his real gifts.
Yeah, but you can't police it. I think what the NFL is trying to do is they're trying to talk big. Yeah,
right.
To scare people to think that doing this, they're going to get in trouble. But yet it's impossible. It's just impossible to tell if a guy is really hurt or he's not.
But look at the video.
Oh, it's
funny. You want to laugh to see the two guys realizing, whoa, I thought it was me. No, I'm sorry. No, you fake.
All right, I'll get up. You get up. Okay.
All right.
All right, very good.